This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
Yeah, a little bit of Fats Domino for you. Remember him? Walking to New Orleans. What a great song that was. Wonder how long it took him. He seems like the kind that wouldn't walk fast. Probably took him a while. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us this morning. It is Wednesday, November the 17th. And we got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about inflation, something very much on the minds of most of us these days. And the thing now eating up our buying power at the stores. So what are we going to do about it? Can we do anything about it? We're going to talk with Ryan Young and find out if there is something we can do. And now the White House is dissing the Congressional Budget Office ahead of their check into the cost of the Build Back Better Biden bill. Build Back Better Biden bill. That's five B's in a row. Biden's Build Back Better people say the CBO does not have the experience to look into it. Oh, really? The Congressional Budget Office, whose job is to look into scoring things, does not have the experience to look into the Biden Build Back Better bill. Well, we're going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that, if you please. And the new poll by the Washington Post and ABC says that Americans support the Roe versus Wade abortion bill by a 2-to-1 margin. 2-to-1. Do you believe that? We are going to take a look. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. What do you think are the most popular flowers? Well, we've got a professional, if there is such a thing, flower organization giving us the top 10 most popular flowers in the world. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, you got to get into Dunedin. Go to the Overcash Plaza, which is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive, just a little bit north. You turn into the plaza. And you go to Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut you can get. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And a tip of the hat, as always, to Good Morning Clearwater, which precedes our show. They are on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Paul and Tracy Allen, they're such nice people to begin with, and they do a great show. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So, as I said, we have a lot going on. Let's talk a little vaccine. Michigan and Minnesota now are the worst places you can be, apparently, for catching it or dying from it. And remember when they were always blaming Florida because we were too lax and we were allowing people to wander around without mask mandates? Somehow that argument isn't working too much anymore. All 50 Senate Republicans this morning are expected to challenge Biden and his vaccine rule for private businesses. under something called the Congressional Review Act. That is a process for Congress to eliminate any executive branch overreaching. You know, any mandates like this. Any executive orders that they don't feel are constitutional. Mike Braun, Indiana, Republican, he will lead all 49 of his buddies that are Republicans, including, by the way, Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority minority leader, in moving to strike down the administration's rule, which mandates that employees at businesses with 100 or more people be fully vaccinated. They have to be vaccinated by the start of the year or by January 4th, or they will be penalized. So this is what they're saying. Biden's vaccine mandate, unconstitutional invasion of what should be a personal medical decision. It's funny how liberals can find abortion as a personal medical decision, but not whether or not you should get a vaccine shot. That you got to do. You know, they kind of jump the fence, don't they, a little bit on that one. So anyway, OSHA. You know, that used to be, whenever I thought of OSHA, I always thought it was so that you didn't get hurt at work. A ladder didn't fall on you or something, you know, or a bowling ball. Or you fell out of a truck or, you know, the truck ran over you or something like that while you were at work, doing work on work hours. Well, OSHA made the vaccine rules. So they're kind of climbing into medicine, not work-related physical injuries. And this is where you got to, and this is what these Senate Republicans are saying. This is not OSHA's right or responsibility. So stay the hell out of it. Now, here's the deal right now. Businesses with over 100 people that don't comply with this mandate could face fines as much as $14,000 per violation and the potential for multiple citations. It says here also that OSHA's rule will preempt any inconsistent state or local laws. See, this is where we have a handle on this thing now. At first, when you have like an immediate horrible threat, you know, we allow the federal government and the president to make some sort of a quick decision. Obviously, we have to have somebody make a quick decision at a time where it's a life and death deal right away, right? So, but when as time goes along and we figure out what's going on, we pull that immediacy, that decision that the executive branch had, away from him. And we allow it to go back in this case, to the states. And let the states decide. We all have gone through this now for several years. So the governor should have more power over the decision of what to do with mandates that have to do with this virus, more so than the president. And I think that's the argument that can be made. And I think it's a good one. I think it's one that would satisfy the tenets of the Constitution as well. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about inflation. What are we going to do? How are we going to stop this inflation? We'll talk with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello out there. Tune in on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. We will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver.
That's Connecting Caregivers Radio, Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, and thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have back an old buddy from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow there. His research focuses on things like regulatory reform, and trade policy, and antitrust regulation. He's just the guy to talk about this whole thing with inflation. It's just absolute. I mean, we've had inflation issues before, Ryan, and I'm old enough to remember when inflation was a huge situation during the Jimmy Carter administration back in the mid-70s. But now, what do we got, a 31-year high for the annual hike of inflation, horrible news about consumer prices, all these things that are going on. I mean, this is really hurting people. I think it's scaring people. Your thought on this?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're going to go back to Carter-era levels, thankfully. But like you said, 6.2% inflation right now is the worst we've seen in 30 years, the last time there was a really bad recession. Luckily, there are things we can do to help, and I think that policymakers, if they really want to, can fix this. The question is helping them to find the will to do it, and there I have, shall we say, less options.
Don't blame you. It's always the will. I mean, do they really want to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, inflation is what happens when you have, when the ratio of money circulating versus the amount of goods and services gets out of whack. Those are out of whack right now. There are a lot of dollars chasing not as many goods. So there are two things you can do. The government can spend less, have fewer dollars circulating so it better matches the amount of goods and services, or you can make more stuff. That would mean easing up regulations, clamping down the supply chain, encouraging people to get back to work, that sort of thing. Policymakers can do constructive things on both of those areas, and we'll see what they actually do.
Okay, let's first of all, so too few goods in the shelves means that they are more rare, and the more rare something is, the more expensive it becomes. That's why diamonds, right, are expensive. If diamonds were like gravel, diamonds wouldn't be expensive at all. So that's that we know. Here's what Milton Friedman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, said at one time. He said inflation, quote, always and everywhere, it's a monetary phenomenon, a monetary phenomenon. So the Federal Reserve, do they have to be involved?
Yeah, in fact, they are probably the biggest agent of potential change here. So the government is engaging in a lot of deficit spending right now, and that's putting more money into the economy, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on the Fed to keep a loose money policy, keep interest rates low. The Fed needs to raise the rates, clamp down on things, tighten up the money supply so there are fewer dollars circulating. That'll bring the amount of money back in line with the amount of goods. sorry, it's early.
No, that's all right. I'm thinking that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. So the Biden administration, the Federal Reserve chairman, They must be sitting around. What does the Federal Reserve Chairman do for a job? I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to clamp down now? Are they going to cut back on the amount of dollars we're printing? And by the way, with all of the legislation that the Democrats and the Biden administration want to pass, we would have to print more money anyway, wouldn't we?
That's exactly right. And the problem is the Fed knows what the right thing to do is, and they said they'll start clamping down on things next year.
Next so year?
A lot of...
Go ahead.
They do it now, but they're going to face a lot of political pressure because the way they tighten the money supply is by raising interest rates. That makes it more expensive for the government to pay back its debts.
Yes.
And here we just passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. There's another potential $2 trillion reconciliation bill on the way. Congress still has to pass a roughly $6 trillion budget for the next fiscal year. That is going to make things very difficult for the Fed to do the right thing, and there's precedent for that from both parties, putting a lot of pressure on the Fed, which is supposed to be independent. So really, this is a big test of Chairman Powell's leadership right now.
Yeah. They're supposed to be independent, right? The Federal Reserve. But we know that they're tied to the... You know, the Federal Reserve Chairman is always tied at the hip to the president. The president can make a change, I think, if, you know, they're not comfortable with the Federal Reserve. So the eyes are on the Federal Reserve. In the meantime, we've got to get more goods out there, don't we? Especially at the Christmas season. I mean, even now, I mean, people are even shopping more than normal right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, consumer spending is up, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. It's because people know that supply chains are clogged right now, so they're doing a lot of their shopping early, knowing that shipping times might take longer. So even if we're seeing a healthy boost in consumer spending right now, that's going to come at the price of lower spending later. It's not that people are spending more, it's that they're spending now instead of later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have to unsnarl the supply chain, don't we, somehow? Don't we have to get more goods on the shelves? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, everything from labor regulations that are restricting what people can do at ports. Labor unions are blocking automation that could unclog a lot of supply chains. I mean, there are ships, I think there are more than 100 ships just sitting off the coast of California right now.
God forbid there's food products on there. Go ahead.
No,
start to smell after a few weeks, but yeah, I mean, so 100 ships. Can you imagine being in line and wondering how long you're going to be out there floating around? I mean, this is really scary.
Not talking the SS Minnow here. We're talking big container ships, not the SS Minnow.
Right. I know. It's it's a mess. It's a mess. Now, I think it's going to hit. I mean, the main thing I would think. Maybe I'm wrong. The main thing is the price of gasoline and the lack of product on the shelves. That is going to affect Democrats in a very negative way. They, rightly or wrongly, they're going to take the hit because it occurred on their watch. I don't hear Biden getting in front of people and saying, okay, here's what we're going to do to lower the inflation rate. Here's what we're going to do to lower the cost of gasoline. People are blaming him for causing the raise in the cost of gasoline, aren't they?
Yeah, and gasoline is not part of inflation because, like you mentioned earlier, it's not monetary. But his administration is the one that's denying permits to pipelines and shutting them down. They're not helping things, and they could.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're standing in place and almost like, I mean, the first thing that I remember that Biden did was to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Then I think there was another pipeline they wanted to slow down. But then they went ahead and they okayed a Russian pipeline, or at least they said they wouldn't block a Russian deal with the Germans or something and a pipeline there. And I'm thinking, then they were encouraging the Saudi Arabians to pump more oil. Then they're saying that because of climate change, we've got to cut back on oil. What in the hell? It sounds like a schizophrenia.
Yeah, well, they're trying to please too many masters. And when that happens,
you please none.
Coherence.
Yeah.
They do want to have lower gas prices, but they also have to answer to various of their interest group constituencies. And when you have those kinds of tensions, you get exactly the kind of incoherence you're talking about.
So getting back to inflation and what to do about it, you mentioned that we've got to tighten up the money supply. And yet there's going to be political pressure to go the other way. Because we're hearing the word trillion an awful lot now, aren't we? To the tune of reconciliation and all of these other things. They're talking not billions anymore. They're talking trillions, infrastructure trillions. So that means you're going to have to loosen the money supply, I would think, unless you're going to come along and say, okay, we're going to collect all of this tax money immediately so we can now pay for the bill. They're never going to do that. They print more money, really, don't they?
They might do some of that, but a lot of it's going to be financed. And when they do deficit spending, what happens is people buy up government debt instead of buying bonds or stocks in private sector companies. There's a displacement. So investment that could go towards funding startups, creating jobs, buying new capital equipment, it's instead going to go towards whatever pet political projects Congress has in mind. So if you want to work on the other side of the inflation equation, having more goods and services, stimulus has the opposite effect because it has a displacement effect.
Very interesting. So instead of putting their money in the private sector, in other words, they're going to do government debt. They want to get the interest on the government debt. Very interesting. We're talking with Ryan Young, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in things, as you can tell, with inflation and government regulations and trade, all kinds of things like that. And what are we doing? What are we going to do about this whole concept of the higher cost of products? You know, I'm seeing it now. You know, it's like every time I go to the grocery store, you know how you get used to what the price is for a certain product you're always buying? And then when you hear about this, you go, okay, the next time I go to the store, I'm going to have to look and see if they've raised the price on that particular product. You know, how quickly it directly affects what I am buying, you know. And I'm seeing it. I am seeing it. I'm seeing prices go up for meat and other products. I imagine, you know, turkeys used to be rather inexpensive. Are they going to be more expensive this year, do you think?
I think so. We could see some record-setting prices this year, and that's not good. I mean, between gas prices going up right in time for people's heating bills to spike up for winter.
Another thing.
I mean, more expensive right around the holidays. Yeah. Supply chain problems making Christmas more expensive. This is not good what we're seeing, and
no.
It'll get a little bit worse before it gets better, I think.
So is it mainly that we loosen up the supply chain and we get flowing again with all of the goods that then get onto the... Because then we'll have more goods, and then the prices will drop, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, if you're paying more for gas because you are restricting the flow of oil, it's the same, I guess, the same formula. You restrict a product, it becomes more expensive. We are restricting the flow and the creation of oil product in this country with the pipelines and the like. We have a high... So everything is delivered by a truck, right? So even though we might open up the supply chain, we still have a higher charge for the transportation of the product, correct?
Yeah. That works. Not only that,
I think I'm doing the interview. I'm answering my own questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, as you said, another thing that would make a huge difference, tariffs are double what they were just 5 years ago, and the administration is doing nothing to get them even back where they were. And that would be politically painless, you would think, but they're not doing it.
Oh, okay. So the import tax on goods that are coming into the country.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have tariffs on another $800 billion worth of goods. That's an extra sales tax that you and I pay every time we buy something that was manufactured abroad. That really hits consumers in the pocketbook, and studies show that it especially hits consumer goods like toys and food and things that lower-income people especially consume the most of.
Yeah. So here's what I think you're saying. We can reduce regulations that will help speed up supply chain. We can reduce the tariff tax. And basically just allow an easing or tightening of monetary. Where have I missed anything here in terms of what we can do from a from an executive or administrative point of view?
Yeah, loosen up trade regulations, loosen up labor regulations, make it easier for people to find work and to start new businesses and start making goods. At the same time, government needs to spend less, and they need to restrain themselves with that monetary printing press.
I think we should type what you just said and send it to Biden and make sure somebody stands over him and he reads it. And maybe we can get that done. But in the meantime, thank you so very much for coming on, Ryan. Really appreciate your thoughts and input on this.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Ryan Young, always an interesting man to talk with. We are going to take our break, and when we come back, the White House dissing the CBO ahead of their check into the cost of Biden's Build Back Better legislation. They say the CBO doesn't have the experience to weigh in on it. We'll get some thoughts on that, a few other things from Andrew Ceresi.
Everybody's bumping, bumping at the high school hop. Everybody's bumping at the high school hop. Taking at the high school hop. Hopping at the high school hop. Rocking at the high school hop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Hey, Ed, I got to ask you a question. I'm just curious about your thought. Are you following that Kenosha trial at all with that Kyle Rittenhouse? And if so, what do you think? The jury is in day two, technically, of that whole thing.
I think the media is more interested in after the verdict than the verdict itself, because they keep referring to Rittenhouse shooting Black Lives Matter protesters, and yet they refer to the January 6th as a riot. They've got it flipped, you know. The riots are at night, and that's when that was going on. The Kenosha was burning, okay? The Capitol was not burning. So it just pains me to watch that and watch them twist it. I know Fox doesn't really twist it, but still, I know they're out there in front of the courthouse right now, and with the 500 National Guard units they've got out there, hopefully we'll keep...
I wonder what the Democrats would have done if it was a black man with a gun that had gone in and shot a couple of white people that were protesting. I wonder how the media would have treated that one.
It's just strange because the protesters that
they're all white.
Let's change that. The rioters that he shot were
all white. That's right.
And I just saw some woman.
But they're making a racial thing out of it.
Some woman had a sign out there that was aggravating the Black Lives Matter. She had a huge sign that says Black Lives Matter and Antifa are here to intimidate.
Black Lives Matter and Antifa are here to intimidate.
Yeah.
She's right.
Because that's when Antifa shows up, just to cause problems.
Okay, very interesting. All right. Now, the Biden White House says that the Congressional Budget Office does not have the experience to weigh in on their legislation, the Build Back Better legislation. The press secretary made that claim to a gaggle of reporters. So we know it's going to be a multi-trillion dollar bill. And what they are, what the White House is basically doing is bracing for the CBO, which is always the one that scores the actual cost of something. Remember Biden saying it's not going to cost anybody under making under $400,000? So now they're already arguing before the CBO comes out with it. So we got the proprietor of the Barber poll, and Andrew, it's, I know that this is maybe not a hometown issue, but the truth is, it's one more thing, one more, I think, one more way of proving that the Biden administration is trying to mask and defraud people.
Well, they've been doing it since he was in office.
Yeah.
Why stop now? As far as they don't have the experience to handle the situation, I don't think the people in Washington have the experience to handle this country.
Yeah. You know, another Democrat has announced that she is not going to run for re-election. This is Jackie Speier. She's been around for a long time. California Democratic Congressman Jackie Speier said yesterday she's not going to seek re-election. That's a bunch of Democrats that are looking at next year and saying, you know what? I'm probably going to lose, so I think I'll just announce now that I'm going to retire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, nobody wants to lose. It's easier to walk away at that point, and right now they're seeing nothing but a red tidal wave coming for the midterms.
I'm very worried about Nancy Pelosi. What is she going to do? She likes running the House, and the poor girl is not going to be in, you know, the Speaker of the House if the Democrats lose control.
Well, they'll go run her own House.
Yeah, maybe you're right. She ought to go home.
Run her own house with her husband. Make him happy as she's making everybody else happy.
Yeah. I don't think that's possible, do you?
No. Not at all.
Okay. So what's going on? How's your business doing these days? Have you noticed either an uptick or a downtick or whatever?
Paul, I'm just constantly steady. You know, I've been here 38 years. The people know me around here for a long time. I'm part of the furniture.
You are.
And my business is fine. I'm busier than I want to be at this point in my life, but, you know, you just keep plugging along.
Yeah, you've been doing a wonderful job cutting people's hair for over 30 years. You have a wonderful staff there. By the way, tell them I'd like to come in for a haircut. I need one today, if that's possible. Could I stop by? Or
certainly, no problem.
All right, buddy.
I can get you in.
How is your beloved wife doing? We've been hearing good things. She's getting better and better, right, with the COVID thing?
She's doing great. She's done with the COVID. I say she's 99.75%, Paul.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's ready to go, which gives me more time now, not having to take care of her, where I can get out and promote my politics, you know?
Well, you also take care of an ex-vet, or a vet, I should say.
Yeah.
Korean War vet, right? How's he doing? He was in the hospital. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny. I call him every morning before I get up to his house. And this morning I called him, and he said, Andrew, you got to be careful. We're under siege. The roads are all blocked, and I'm hearing gunshots.
What?
This poor guy. He was having a bad dream.
Oh, okay. And he thought it was real?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he thought it was real. He called me back a couple of minutes after, Andrew, I must have been dreaming.
Oh, boy.
But he probably went back to his war days, you know. Oh. 30 years in the Air Force, I'm sure he's seen a few things.
You know, that's true. Now that I think about that, people that have gone through a war, I would suspect they have a lot of bad dreams.
You know, Paul, I remember my father is a World War II vet. He drove a Sherman tank in World War II.
Oh, wow.
And the life expectancy of a tank commander in World War II was about 6 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
He got shot a couple times. And, you know, that poor man, in the middle of the night, I would hear him screaming.
Really?
Many, many, many nights, Paul, of what he saw happening in World War II.
What theater was he in World War II?
Pardon?
Which theater of the war was he in? Was he in Italy? Was he in...
Yeah, he was in Italy.
Italy.
He went back to Italy, yep, Italy through Germany. It was all through Europe, Paul.
Being Italian, Did your father have any mixed feelings about fighting in World War II? I knew an Italian war vet that said, "Send me to the Pacific. I do not want to fight Italians."
No, Paul. He had no regrets for nothing. As far as he was concerned, he was American.
Well, that's a good answer.
He never once showed anything toward Italy, to be honest with you.
Wow. That's a good answer. So, Florida is looking better and better and better. I said a little earlier in the show that Minnesota and Michigan, generally blue states, have the worst COVID problem right now, and it's kind of settled down here. Not that you're going to get a begrudging things are better from, you know, like the liberal media here, but it's true.
Paul, Florida's got the best count in the nation, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't hear about it, but that's just the liberal media. You got Charlie Crist trying to weigh in on things about a special session. I think Charlie Crist should just pack his socks away and move himself.
I don't think anybody's going to have much of a chance run. I'm saying that, you know, kind of rooting for DeSantis, but I'm trying to also be kind of like, in the middle on this, I don't see anybody having a chance against DeSantis.
No, it's like I told you, the Democrats aren't even putting money in the governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something interesting you brought up, Paul, about the COVID spikes in the Northeast.
Yeah,
their explanation, this would be the official gurus up there saying, it's because of the fact it's been a rather cold fall so far, and everybody's kind of been hunkering indoors together. Well, during the beginning of the pandemic, didn't they say, stay home, hunker indoors?
They did.
Well, wouldn't that mean that it would spread faster rather than going outside? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it me?
With a crowd.
No, you're right.
Stay home, no crowd.
Right. No. That's right. Stay home. Yeah, remember last Thanksgiving. Stay home.
It might be that it's that. I never even thought about colder weather influencing Michigan and Minnesota. Do you think that, seriously, Ed, do you think?
Well,
do you think that is the reason that
could
it's
be
higher?
Possibly that a lot of people stayed home. But in the beginning and throughout at least last Thanksgiving, they didn't want anybody going out to Thanksgiving dinner. They wanted you to stay home.
I know.
Well, that's the same thing, is it not?
Here, let me also ask you this in line with that. I'm reading that the vaccine, and Andrew, I want your thought. The vaccine is wearing out, and that like after 6 months, you've lost your protection.
Which,
is that true?
Which begs the question.
Is that true?
Yes. That's why you need a booster shot. So, if you don't go get the booster shot, will you fall in line with the people that have not been vaccinated and lose your rights to do this and do that because you did not get a booster shot?
Yeah.
Is that next?
What do you think, Andrew?
Paul, I think it's all crazy.
Well, we know that.
I could care less about COVID anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going about my life. When the Lord wants me, he'll take me. I don't care what the politicians say.
Mm-hmm.
I think the jury in this Rittenhouse thing should have walked down the hallway and turned around and walked right back. I can't believe they're still sitting there deliberating, which is making me believe a liberal infiltrated the jury.
Well, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I remember the O.J. Simpson, I think we all do, the O.J. Simpson verdict. It was very quick. You remember? They barely had left the room, and they made the little gong ring, and they were back to say he was totally innocent. And we all knew that it was because we had a black jury in Los Angeles proper that were in no way, even if they saw a video of him killing Nicole, his wife, that they would have found him. Mm-hmm. They still would have found him innocent, right? I'm wondering if we've got an issue there now, the other way around.
Well, you know, it's like I really believe a liberal infiltrated that jury, okay? Because there's no question about the kid's innocence. The videos proved everything. And you know what? It disgusts me that these people are threatening riots and this. And you know what, Paul? They need to let the National Guard cut loose If they want to start writing, you start picking a couple of them off, and I guarantee you the writing will stop.
Yeah, I think you're right. Of course, there would be a hue and a cry, you know, if you ever tried that. But I don't think they're going to have a big problem because of the National Guard being there. They're not going to have that issue. I don't think the National Guard will allow it.
No, well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't.
But the longer you go, it's kind of the rule, the longer you go with a jury hanging out there, the more you think that they're going to find him guilty of something, right?
That's right. No question about it.
Yeah. I think they are. I think they're going to find him guilty of a lesser charge. Don't you, Ed?
There shouldn't be no lesser charge.
I agree.
It should be on trial for murder, not change the charges.
Yeah.
But, you know, because this is a case to go after our Second Amendment, again, it's like I say, the little black boy in Texas that killed, shot the teacher and three students, he's still out on $25,000 bond. How come I don't hear anything about that, Paul?
Yeah, I don't even know the details of that one because the press didn't play that one up like they're playing this up.
Oh, I could tell you he said he was being bullied in school.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he come from a high-end black
family. So he takes a gun to school and shoots people?
That was okay because he's black. It's all right.
No. Well, you know, it's not a racial thing, right? I mean, it's an individual thing. The thing is we always try to group people. Like we're looking at this thing as Ed and I were talking about. Rittenhouse shot three white guys.
That's right.
And in each case, from what I understand, they were coming at him. Now, one guy did not have a gun. And I'm thinking that that's the one. And he didn't get killed, though. I think he's the one that lost his arm. Is that right, Ed?
No, he's the one that had the gun. The one cracked him over the head with a skateboard and knocked him down.
Right.
The other one was grabbing for his gun.
Did he kill that guy?
Yes, he did.
Okay, that's the one.
With the skateboard. It don't matter.
Well, just think about it. From a juror's point of view, if someone's coming at me with a skateboard and I have a gun, I think I have a right. If the guy hit and he whacked the guy on the head with it.
We talked about that during the riots. Why were they showing up with skateboards? Because they were using them as weapons.
Right, they were.
Right.
Then the other guy that came at him.
And shields.
The other guy that came at him also had a gun. So I can see him shooting him. But the guy that didn't have a gun, that's where I'm thinking jury.
Well, he grabbed for his gun and was trying to yank it out of
his hand. Yes, he was. And that could be.
If he grabbed it, he would have shot him back.
Yes, and I think that's the defense there. But just think about what the jury is now thinking, arguing. I'm thinking that that's the one. He kills that guy. But and that guy did not have a gun. I'm just wondering.
I'll tell you this. If I was a juror, I would sit there and tell him, I'm sitting here till I die, and I don't care what you people say or think, this kid is innocent, and I'm not sending him to prison. Period.
Mm-hmm.
The proof is all there. They're just trying to make a scene about it, Paul, to go after our rights and gun rights. You know what? I think everybody in this country should go buy an AR-15. That'll keep them quiet forever.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I knew that everybody I was passing in the street had a gun, I would certainly be a hell of a lot more polite with
There'd
them.
Be no crime,
I wouldn't be arguing too much.
There'd be no crime.
Yeah.
But that's what they're going after, buddy.
Are you over at the shop right now?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. I'm going to see you in a few minutes. And a very interesting conversation. In the meantime, we will talk on the radio again on Friday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
Thanks, Andrew. You know, this is such an interesting case. I didn't even want to get into it because it's not really what we do on this show, but it's become political.
Yeah,
you know?
And I truly believe there's going to be some sort of a lesser charge, like reckless endangerment, I don't know, something like that.
I think so.
Something, but then that's going to carry a much lesser sentence, which will not be enough in some of the eyes out that are waiting out there. So it's whether they take it any further. And that's what people are really looking at. They're not looking at the verdict. They're looking to see what's going to happen afterwards. Most people don't care what happens in the courtroom, to tell you the truth.
I wonder how much discretion the judge has after the verdict. In other words, they come up with, like you said, some sort of lesser charge. Will the judge then make the decision? Because if he does, I'm getting the impression he's tending to side a little bit with the defense.
Yeah, I would agree on that.
Yeah. And therefore, you might... It might be a lesser, you know, maybe a year and a half or something like that, right?
That's, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting. We're going to take our break, and finally, when we come back, Hey, there's a new poll, Washington Post ABC poll. Apparently, Americans support Roe versus Wade by a 2-to-1 shot? Is that really true? We're going to take a look.
It's time to stay behind. All I wanted was to hold you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and thank you for being with us. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We thank you when you can make it. If you cannot make it live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. He puts all our shows on our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Go there, click on the podcast button at the top. You'll see who the guest is for a particular show and our top 10. What more in life do you need? That's all you need to lead a long and happy life, listening to our radio show, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, Roe versus Wade. This is one of those hot, sticky button issues that when people hear that you're going to talk about that, they immediately take their side, right? And they stand there and, all right, that this is how I feel. Well, apparently by a 2-to-1 margin, the Supreme Court should uphold Roe versus Wade. This, according to a new poll from the Washington Post ABC News joint venture, and it said by a similar margin, Americans opposed a Texas law banning most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Here is the deal with abortion. The closer to conception, the higher the rate of saying it should be a woman's decision. The further from conception, the lower the rate. But you've got people up until birth that say abortion is okay. Well, 99% of Americans don't believe that. 99% of Americans think at that point, partial birth abortions are wrong. So anyway, this poll finds 27% of Americans saying the court should overturn Roe versus Wade. 27%. 60% saying that Roe should be upheld. Now, they say that while Americans have long supported limiting access to abortion after the first 3 months, in other words, after that, there is a higher percentage of people that think you should carry the baby to term. So, but you got to remember that we now know that with technology and everything else at its point today, we know that that's an alive human being way earlier than what we believed back when Roe versus Wade was passed. in 1973. But for many people, myself included, a living human being has a right to life. We even say that in the Declaration of Independence, do we not? The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if you do have a right to life, it needs to be protected. That has always been the philosophy of our show. So, but it's such a polarizing issue. Such a polarizing issue. All right, it is time for our top 10. I think we have a good one, Ed. And I know you're a big flower person, are you not? You love flowers. We're doing the top 10 most popular flowers in the world, according to flowerora.com. I want to see if Ed knows what the number one most popular flower is in the world. So here we go. Number 10, jasmine. I'm not sure I would know what a jasmine looks like. Do you?
No.
Okay, so you're not a big gardener. Apart from being one of the most popular flowers, it's a national flower of Indonesia. Did you know that?
Nope.
The scent of jasmine is highly used in deodorants. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know that.
All right. All right, enough about that. Number 9. I guess it's pronounced gerberas. G-E-R-B-E-R-A-S. Gerberas. Gerbera generates its beauty from a wide capitulum with outstanding two-lipped ray florets. It symbolizes innocence and purity. I don't even know what one looks like, to be honest with me. All right. Number 8. I know what this one looks like. Carnations. What color do you think of when you think of a carnation?
White.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Carnations are popular and cheap.
They are. And remember when you go to weddings, you've seen, you know, all that with the carnations. All right. Carnations are the most popular flower and also the most commonly used flower for the bouquets. And they are also used big time on Mother's Day. Number 7. Orchid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know about the orchid. They belong to a huge family of flowers. Blooms that are colorful and fragrant, known to symbolize large families, particularly families with many children. Number 6, daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can grow daisies in your backyard. Easily found around the planet, people also call it the cousin of the sunflower. Number 5, the marigold. Marigold, one of the flower types, famous for its thick and lush foliage and its beauty. Yep. And they have spiritual significance as well. Number 4, daffodil, a representative of regard and respect. Daffodils are native to Asia, North America, and also Europe. So they're grown all over the world. There are more than 100 species. Number 3, sunflower. That's another one. They grow all over the place. One of the most popular flower names, as it is easy to grow. Also used for human consumption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sunflowers. You ever eat sunflowers?
Yeah, I love sunflowers.
Yeah. It symbolizes loyalty, as it always keeps its face towards the sun. That's where it got its name, apparently. Very interesting. Number 2. Tulip.
Tulip.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always think of Holland, right? Holland, where they grow tulips.
You know, I think of New York because when I was a kid, my parents used to plant tulips in the spring all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Large and distinctive flower initially cultivated by the Turks.
Hmm.
Okay. What do you think, Ed? What's number 1?
The one that's often given around Valentine's Day. Let's go with the rose.
Bingo. The rose is number 1. For obvious reasons, international appeal. No doubt roses are amongst the most popular flowers, available in many different colors. It commonly denotes, like you said, love and romance. So there you go.
And around Valentine's, lots of money.
True. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
No. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. On the rise for years, drug overdose deaths have now reached a new milestone in this country. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
It's a devastating number, an estimate.